Thanks for joining us for this week's message from Family Church. Now, if this ministry has impacted your life in some way, we would love to hear your story. Just email your story to us at changedlife@familychurch.tv. Also, if you would like to become a financial supporter in doing ministry to keep broadcasts like this one coming to you every week, be sure to head to our website and click on the Give tab, and there you'll find the option that best fits you. Now, here's this week's message. We hope that it blesses you in some way.
I'm excited about tonight. I told Linda B and I told Pastor Larry, I said, if God doesn't show up tonight, we're going to have a really short evening. So I'm going to trust that he does, but let's pray. Can we do that? Let's go to prayer. Father, we just do thank you tonight for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy, and Lord, for your reckless love, that you love us so much. And tonight, Father, we just endeavor to lose ourselves in your love and lose ourselves in that love letter that you've written to each and every one of us. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, the words that come out of my mouth would not be mine, but would be yours. And Lord, it would administer to your people, your church, your kids tonight. And we just give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right. Tonight, last week, I shared a message entitled Fully Charged. And I talked about how sometimes we can feel like that we're, the life is being sucked right out of us. We opened up with a couple of stories with some great examples of a couple of guys who were feeling empty. We left those two guys actually at that same spot, and I want to revisit those stories just as a refresher. Maybe you weren't here last week. If you weren't, I encourage you to go online. And did you know Wednesday night messages are online too? Now, they're not the videos. You can't watch me and somebody says amen because they don't want to see me. But you can go and hear the audio and of all of the Wednesday night messages. And it's really easy to find because it's just a little folder that says, or a little option there that you tap or click on that says Wednesday night. So it's pretty easy. But I encourage you to go back because this is going to really take off or tie in to what last week was all about. We talked about a couple stories, and the first one was about Elijah under a broom tree. And if you brought your Bibles and want to turn there and follow along with me, you can turn 1 Kings chapter 19. In verse 1, and in this passage, we find Elijah, and again, some of this, if you heard this, or if you were here last week, this is a little bit of a review, but kind of a refresher, and for those that weren't here, for their sake, we found Elijah right after one of the most thrilling miracles that Elijah ever performed. Backed by another one, almost to its equal. It had not rained, as Elijah had told King Ahab, for 3.5 years. And then Elijah called a fire show of God versus Baal, and God won, hands down. How many remember the story a little bit? Okay. Then Elijah told Ahab it was going to rain, and it did. And this is where we pick up the story. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, it says, when Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah, may the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. There's a second gentleman we talked about last week, and it's a gentleman by the name of David. Anybody recognize that name in the Bible? We find another story very similar to Elijah's in David's situation. David and his men are returning to Ziklag only to be faced with some very horrific chain of events. This story is found in 1 Samuel 30, chapter 30, verse 1. It says, 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children of everyone else without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. Both of these men are at their end. Can you imagine? Put yourself in their here that we just read about. Can you imagine how drained they must have felt? It kind of reminds me of, I am forgetting the whole gentleman of that book, Something and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good. Tell me it. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, Good, Bad Day. Don't you think that qualifies? We could just replace Alexander with Elijah. Or we could replace Alexander with David. Now, last week, we looked at those stories and I shared with you some very practical things. I got that from somebody. How many of you have been here Sundays and heard Pastor Larry talk about the practicality of God's Word? I shared with you some very practical things from God's Word in an effort to help you to prepare so you can position yourself for the miraculous. But tonight I want to bridge the gap. And you may say, what do you mean? Bridge the gap. I mean, you can have all the practicality presented to you, but until you make up your mind to do something, there's no way you'll get from this point, the point these men are in this story with the terrible, no good, very bad, horrible, and I got that all out of order, day, to where God can activate the miraculous in your life. How do we get from those two places? That's the gap. And that's what I want to address today, tonight. Tonight, I want to give you motivation. Motivation to get from here to there. What do I mean by that? Here, the place where you feel empty and drained, a dark place you might find yourself in, whether you caused it or you didn't. The place where Elijah was experiencing that we just read. The place where David was experiencing. To there, the place where God wants you to be. The place where God's best exists. The place of no limits. The place of the miraculous. And I just realized that you shared that manuscript today, and I had both of those words already in my notes. That was interesting. Sorry, that was something between Pastor Larry and I just for a minute there. You see, God wants to take us from our here to our there. But how do we get there? I'm sure Elijah felt at that point in the middle. He felt in the middle. David felt in the middle. In the middle is a hard place to be. It's a hard place to be. Yeah, you can say we're halfway there. But you also have another halfway to go. I think that's where we get our little saying from of why it's so hard, because our glass can either be half full or half empty. Why? Because half is hard. Yes, you've accomplished so much, But you know you have so much more to go. Sometimes the middle is a hard place to be. I think in the middle is where a lot of projects get abandoned. I think in the middle is where a lot of relationships are given up on. I think in the middle is where we find Elijah and David right here in the middle. So my question is, what took these two men from where they were here in the middle to over there? Because we know the story, don't we? Elijah goes on and does some pretty awesome things, doesn't he? He calls out Elisha. He mentors Elisha, and then he gets taken up into this like chariots of fire. Is that where we get our chariots? All right. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, sorry. I don't know what happens sometimes in there either. That's actually what I thought of. I didn't say it, but I thought it. Some things are best left unsaid and just thought in my head. Anyway. Elijah didn't see the end. Elijah didn't have the luxury to see the end of the story like we know it. He was still here. He didn't know about there. And in his here, he just said, "Let me die." How many can relate? Don't raise your hand. How do we get there? David, we know David goes on. And he becomes king of Israel. But he didn't know that in Ziklag. And neither do you or I know if you find yourself in the middle and you're here. So how did they get from here to there? How did they motivate themselves to decide to just keep going when they wanted to quit? Because we know they didn't quit. But I'm sure David had the same kind of thoughts as Elijah did. I'm sure Elijah was thinking in the middle, I can't, God. It's too hard. I can't. I'm sure David had those same thoughts. I can't. I'm done. And then I think back about maybe David and Elijah sat there and just were thinking to themselves, if I wish I could go back and do it over. Could I just get a do-over? And how many of us, how many of you, like I have had those same thoughts? Can I just get a do-over, God? But we can't go back to the beginning, can we? So I think we all know these gentlemen, Elijah and David, didn't quit, did they? And I think that's key. Right? They didn't quit, but how? How did they keep going? How did they not quit? I think that's a question that we need to answer tonight. What got them from here to there? In Elijah's case, if we keep reading in 1 Kings chapter 19, we see verse 5, he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead of you will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. Did you hear that? That's important. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, if the Lord said something to him, would we be okay to come to the conclusion that God was there? Can we? Okay, I just want to make sure you weren't asleep out there. Yes. And he said, excuse me, I lost my place. The mountain of God. Then he came to the cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sounds of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And he talked to God. I added that. That isn't actually in the verse, that last statement. So what got Elijah from his here to there? He went to the mountain of God, and God met him in his here. God met him in the middle. What about David? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, and I'm reading this from the New American Standard Version because I want you to hear something. I like the way it's written. It says, "Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his own sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, 'Please bring me the ephod.' So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them?' And he," who is the he here? It would be the Lord, "said to him, 'Pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all.'" Pursue, overtake, rescue all. What got David from his here to his there? He strengthened himself in the Lord. He put on the ephod, and he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord met him in his here. God met him in the middle. God wants to meet you in your here, right in the middle. You're not forsaken. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't went out to lunch He didn't even take a smoke break. Okay, I know that was kind of funny. It's supposed to be funny. You guys didn't laugh enough for that. God wants to meet you right in your here, right in the middle. As we surrender ourselves to God, God meets us. The Holy Spirit desires to come and meet us right where we are. He's been there all along. He's never left. If you're His child and you've accepted Him as your Father, He's there. I'm actually starting my conclusion right now. Now, I will say my conclusion is probably about as long as my message. I'm going to give that forewarning. But as we wrap this up tonight, we're not quite done. I've asked some of the worship team to come forward, and they're going to get in their place. And I want to close tonight in worship and in prayer. And I wanted to allow plenty of time for that. Because I think that's important tonight. Because some of you need to come to the altar. And the altar tonight is open to anyone for anything. I was speaking with someone who I'm going to rename nameless. They asked me a question, and they said, I didn't know if it was okay for me to come forward. I'm of course it's okay for you to come forward. But they didn't know that. So I want to make sure that the invitation is open to everyone and anyone for anything. But I do believe, in specific, some of you need to come to the altar tonight. Some of you, you're feeling that tug in your heart tonight. And some of you need to meet God right in your middle. You can relate to where Elijah and Elisha were, and they're here. And we're going to sing this song here again. And you guys can come if you want. I don't know if you've paid much attention to the words of this song. But they're better than good. They're powerful. Can't go back to the beginning. Can't control what tomorrow will bring. But I know here in the middle is the place where you promise to be. That's only three lines of the whole song. I copied this right from, and it's only three lines. That's how it's broken out, is the three lines. I copied it right from the lyrics on the website. Three lines. And to me, it felt like it's taken me like 25 years for that to really become a realization to me. Because I always thought, if I could just get here, then everything's going to be all right, only to get there and be very disappointed and think, if I could just get here, then it's going to be all right, only to get there and be very disappointed. Until I realized God was with me all along. He was right there. And He'll always be right there. But the enemy is sure to make you feel like you've been abandoned. Because in my opinion, that is one of his number one lies. But I know here in the middle is the place where you promise to be. This is where surrender comes into play. Listen to this. I'm not enough. Guys, we'll never be enough. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to have enough. You're never going to be skinny enough. You're not enough unless He comes. Because He makes us complete. I am only complete in Him because that's the way I was made to be. There's a void inside of me until He comes. And I don't mean walking a prayer, walking an aisle and saying a prayer and coming to Jesus. I mean on a daily basis. Knowing I need Him. I have to have Him. To the point now where I can't imagine life without Him. It's kind of like my wife. I can't imagine. And I think that's why it's so hard to lose a spouse. I don't know. I've never experienced that. But I can't imagine life without my wife. I can't imagine life without Lori. I can't. That's the same way I think it is with God. I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here? Will you meet me here? Again. He wants to meet you right where you are. In whatever mess you're in, whether you caused it or you didn't. Because all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? In the words of the song, we can see the feeling of helplessness along with the knowing that God is in our middle. When we surrender ourselves to Him and to the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us and realize I can't do this alone, I need God with me in the middle. When we give up our desires and wants for His desires and wants, He is right in the middle with us. The song goes on, not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. That took me years to grasp, and I want to pass it to you. Even when you don't feel like it, our spiritual walk is not based on feelings. Feelings are so fickle. God is not emotionally based. He's spiritually based. It doesn't matter what you feel. It's what you know. And God's word says, child, you are not forsaken. He is there. Not only is He there, Galatians says He lives in you. The last thing Jesus said to you before He left this planet was, I am with you always. Even to the end of the age. He's with you. He lives in you. That's why He said it's better that I go away, because I send the Holy Spirit who will be with you and will live in you. He's been there all along. This song was written by Chris Brown, and I got a quote that I found on the website. It says, God's presence only awaits our awareness. Our prayer is that this song would open our eyes to see that even when we don't sense God. And I'm sorry I get emotional, because there's times when I have not sensed God. I've felt like I've been in a dry place, and I've even been pastoring and feeling that way. Just being transparent, folks. When we feel abandoned or find ourselves walking through the lowest valley, that He still remains with us. So wherever you find yourself today, may these words bring about the same revelation Jacob had when he awoke from his dream and said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. That's found in Genesis 28:16. I looked it up. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it." I want you to have that experience tonight. And I can't muster it up. Only God can. But I will say this. As we sing tonight, there's people in this place I know facing darkness. You feel hopeless. And God wants to meet you tonight. You need to be at this altar. Not for me, not for Pastor Larry, not so we can brag that the altar was packed tonight. You need it. Because sometimes the very simplest act of obedience, when God is tugging at your heart, can fall all the puzzle pieces into place. And God shows up just like he did in a dream of Jacob's. So tonight, we're going to sing this song. Some of you need to come down here and be bold. You need to lift your hands. You need to surrender to God and show him, "I'm not enough. I need you. I'm not enough unless you come." If that's you, I'm going to turn it over to the band. If that's you, don't wait on me. I'm not going to beg and plead and spit and beg some more. You just need to be here for you. And if you need prayer for anything, and you feel like you need prayer tonight, Pastor Larry's here. I'm here. Grab us. I'm not going to come and pray over you. This is your time, not mine. This is between you and God, but I felt led to allow for this. So as we sing this song, you let God minister to you tonight, but do me a favor and do not leave here full of darkness like you came, if that's you. Because God wants to meet you right here in the middle. Go ahead, guys.